Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. We could observe that we live in the day where peace is going to be more precious than at any other time in human history. Jesus foretold in Luke chapter 21 that men's hearts would be failing them for fear. Apparently that could refer to heart attacks and people being completely dashed against the stones, having lost this hope that they had, the hope of accomplishing great things in this fleeting world, having put their trust in the world and not in Christ. And the good news is that if you're listening, if I'm listening to the Word of God right now, it's definitely an indication that we still have the opportunity to repent afresh and return to the Lord. 1 John 2:17 tells us that the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Isn't that amazing? I encourage you to memorize that scripture verse, write it on an index card perhaps, 1 John 2:17. He's talking here in context, beginning in verse 15, of loving not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So those who do the will of God are building their house, the house of their life, if you will, on adhering to the words of God. Jesus said that's the only type of person, only one kind in the world, that's actually building their house on a rock, on the rock of truth, the rock of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is written in the end, the latter part of Matthew chapter 7. I want to encourage you to read Matthew 7 this week. Every verse is amazing. And Jesus finishes it by telling us that we are to, if we want to be with Him, we want to abide forever, we're going to have to build the house of our life upon the rock of Him who is the way, the truth, and the life, and the Word of God. There's no separating Jesus from His Word. You can't say, I worship the eternal living Word without, you could say that, but it's not true unless you're actually adhering to what this eternal living Word has told us. That's why we have a Bible, and perhaps we should begin today to take God at His Word like never before. I want to talk about peace here in just a minute, because it is a commodity that is priceless in this late hour as we look for the soon return of our Savior. A.W. Tozer wrote this. He said, when I understand that everything happening to me is to make me more Christ-like, it resolves a great deal of anxiety. Friend, perhaps you stumbled upon this message and you're in some toil in your life, and I think it would be wise to understand that God has you, He loves you, He's drawing you, and He's drawing you to Himself. He calls Himself in Isaiah 9 the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Don't you just love Isaiah 26:3? Thou wilt keep him in perfect perfect peace. Wow. Unbroken, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed fixed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And how is it that we trust in the Lord? What do we do? Just numb ourselves out or sit in a quiet place or what? Let's talk about this great peace. The central verse here in this message is going to be, among all the great ones, is going to have to be out of Psalm 119, verse 165. I want you to memorize this verse, precious saint of Christ. It says, great peace, not just peace, but great peace have they which love thy law. That means his instructions. That means his word. And nothing shall offend them. You know, when the meter on your car begins to flash red and on the dashboard, you know you have to pull over. Something isn't right. Correct? Yeah. So in our lives, when we feel a lack of peace, that's pretty often for most of us, we feel tossed, if you will, in an ocean of different events and that come upon us unawares in life, kind of like a boat out at sea in a wavy, choppy, violent sea. You know, we have to do something, and that, I'm so glad, aren't you, that God gave us his exceeding great and precious promises, whereby we're made partakers of the divine nature. What is one of the divine attributes, part of the divine nature? It's peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Amen. And only those who have peace with God, having repented and received Christ, having surrendered your life to Christ and been born again, only they are going to have peace. In fact, the Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. None. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Isaiah also, chapter 57, verse 21. I want you to memorize that. As you look around you, and sometimes you're tempted to covet what the world has or be angry because you don't have that, that shows a lack of contentment. And we should always remember that those people, Psalm 37 really calibrates things and resets your thinking. Highly encourage you to read that chapter on a regular basis. In fact, look up Psalm 37 on the search box on Safeguard. We got a real good kind of conversational narration of that psalm that I think will really bless you. I've been getting, actually this week, got a message from a dear sister who said that really blessed her. Okay, so remember when you look around, though, that those in the world, everyone without Christ, everyone that doesn't know him, and which would mean they're currently serving him, otherwise they're either never knew him or they're backslidden. Either way, they have no peace. They definitely don't have the peace that passes all understanding. You know, you see all of these people on social media that live in these big houses and they look like they're living these elaborate, plush, let me tell you, those people are as miserable as anybody else. And in some cases, even more, because there is no peace, none, zero, zilch. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. If you're outside of Christ, my friend, you are wicked in the eyes of a holy God and is sure for eternal damnation irrevocably, as if you were already there. Today is the day of salvation. Today is to hearken to the Prince of Peace and come and make peace with him on his terms, and that is beginning with repentance. Jesus said, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is essential. You're turning your life to him. You're turning away from the old way. That ought to be easy because it's never brought anything good. People just want to hold on to it because that's all they've ever known. It's the familiar. But you know, it's like the familiar deck of a pool that lines a swimming pool. Remember that? As you were a little child and your dad or mother stood in the water and said, come here, baby, I got you. I mean, and did you jump to him? Yeah, why? Because you trusted. That's your mommy. That's your daddy. You knew that they were going to be there for you. Well, that's a picture of how God is going to be there for you. That's an illustration he designed and ordained in the human family so that we know that we can jump off the end of the earth if that's what we're supposed to do. And God is going to be there. You can trust God, my friend. He will never fail or forsake you. He loves you, and he's calling you to come to him today. And just admit what he already knows. You can't hide it from him anyway. Tell him you're a sinner. You've sinned against him. You've lied. You've stolen. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not steal. You've committed adultery. If you look on a woman to lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart, and you're guilty. And you've used his name in vain. Remember, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This is all out of Exodus 20, the law, and it slays all of us because we've all sinned and come short of His glory. But God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's what He wants to do, my friend. He tells us in His Word that He's not willing that any should perish, that He would have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. Jesus loves you and He wants to save you, but He gave you a free will. So if you'll go before Him today and you'll tell Him what He already knows, Lord, I've sinned against You. I am fully guilty. I want to settle out of court. I want to ask You, dear Heavenly Father, through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, that was shed for my sins and that He was buried and raised again for my justification, I want to ask You on the behalf of Christ's perfect sacrifice to take me into Your family, to forgive all my sins by the blood of Jesus, and to wash me clean, fill me with Your Spirit, and take over my life. I'm all Yours, Jesus, from this moment forward, and You're all mine. Amen. I've personally been blessed to pray that prayer with hundreds of people at least. Now, the thing is, it's not about just saying a prayer. It's about repentance. Prayer is just simply the vehicle. Praying just simply means you're communicating with God. So when you're repenting, you're just simply communicating with God. And God wants to save you today, and He's waiting to do that right now. He said today is the day, your day of salvation, so that you can have great peace, because then as you begin to read the Bible, the author actually now living in you, now that you're saved, is going to instill in you and embed in your heart the depths of it, great peace. I don't know about you, I'm so blessed to just read these words, these two words together in the Bible, great peace, not just peace, great peace. What a blessing. The Bible talks about the peace that passes all understanding, which is only available to those who are God's children. And remember, if God put these things in His Word, these are treasures that He put in His Word simply because He wants you to have these blessings. Amen. He's daily loading His people with benefits, blessings. Forget not all His benefits. Amen. Let's read this passage, Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. With all the things that are happening in the world, the only people that can rejoice, and yet they must make a decision to rejoice, are those who are in Christ. They have everlasting hope. They don't just have hope for a life on this earth and then they, you know, retire and live a few years with some money. No. That's not a retirement plan compared to the one we got. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15:19, Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Saints, God wants to give us, He wants to imbue us with an eternal perspective. We're going to be talking about that in the days to come. I want you to stay tuned because we want to get these holy scriptures into your spirit to make you pregnant by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God with an eternal perspective. Amen. Notice 1 Corinthians 2:9. What a blessing. But as it is written, eye hath not seen. I'm about to start singing here. I'll spare you, so don't worry. But this will get you happy. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Them that love Him. That's those that submitted themselves to Him. They repented. They got honest. Everybody has sinned, guys. Do we need to let each other in on that secret? Should be very obvious, right? But only some people have admitted it and said, God, I need You to forgive me. I am dead wrong. Your Word says one thing, I did another, which makes it a sin. Jesus, You died for my sins. I want You to apply Your precious blood to my account and wash away all my sins. I give my life to You. I declare You as Lord and Savior of my life because You died on the cross, were buried, and raised again from the dead for my justification. I love You, Jesus. That's going to be the most important decision you make on this planet, and it's going to determine your eternal destiny, and so is rejecting Christ. And if you're not with Him, you are against Him. There is no middle ground. So them that love Him, He has prepared things for them that love Him. Also, speaking of an eternal vision, 2 Corinthians 4:18, don't you just love this? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal, temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. I want you to memorize that verse also. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. Notice also, Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in Me, in other words, I've given you My Word, that in Me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I I have overcome the world. Amen. Also, that was John 16:33. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Also, Proverbs 1. By the way, that was John 14:27. Proverbs 1:33. I'm telling you, this one right here is a bomb. I mean, a blessing. A blessing bomb, man. I want you to let me tell you, I'm not telling you it might happen. I'm telling you it's definitely going to happen. If you memorize and meditate on this verse, it's going to be like a bomb of peace that just explodes in your spirit and pervades your whole body and mind and spirit. Listen to this. Proverbs 1:33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me. That's the condition. The promises of God always have conditions. All of these people peddling these promises on social media as if they're going out of style and God's just trying to stick them on people. No, man, that's not how it works. That's why you got to read the Bible for yourself. They're only giving you a little sliver of something, but leaving out the context. God only blesses those who serve him on his terms and no other. Well, brother, I go to church. Good, you're going to hell too with most of them, right? You're proud of yourself? Do you not know the word of God? Are you not learning the word of God daily yourself? Are you disobeying God? See, because my people are going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6. The word of God tells you, study, you do it. You studied it. If you're listening to me and you name the name of Christ, it's time for you to get in the word. The word of God is not going to get into you until you get into it. Study, 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 study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How are you going to rightly divide the word of truth? How are you going to decipher somebody's using scripture out of context or their little sayings are biblical? Often on social media, I tell people, hey, why don't we just start letting God speak for himself by quoting and posting the King James Bible? Wouldn't that be a concept? I don't know what's going on there. That's just horribly unscriptural. Preach the word. The scriptures are the script of God. Heaven's script. The Savior's script. We don't have to make up a new script. In fact, if you do, you're going to have your name removed from the book of life. You're changing things. Just let God speak for himself by preaching his word. I don't know about you, but I think this book is a big book. The Bible, Genesis to Revelation, 66 books in this amazing canon. I haven't scratched the surface of understanding and learning it. Have you? But how about having a certain number of chapters that you read every morning that you don't move, you don't even breathe, you don't eat, you don't get caught, nothing until those scriptures, the holy scriptures, are in your spirit. As you get in the word of God, my beloved friend, it's going to get into you and it's going to bring you great, not just peace, but great peace have they that love thy law, thy word, and nothing shall offend them. A lot of people getting offended already. Okay, so many have already fallen away. We hadn't seen nothing yet. This may not even be the beginning of sorrows. Matthew 24. Wow. So we must now, in the time of peace, become rooted and grounded in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Here we go. Proverbs 1:33. But whoever will hearkeneth unto me. Are you listening to Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep? Are you following man, your church, your pastor, any other mere human fool, sinner? Are you following Jesus? Are you crying out to him? Are you lifting up your heart and perhaps your hand and your voice, your hands and your voice to him and telling him? When's the last time you said, Jesus, I just want to tell you that I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You parents out there only know the gift of hearing that little precious voice of your children saying, Mommy, or Daddy. What happens when you hear that? You pretty much stop dead in your tracks as a parent, I know, and you about melt to nothing like butter being thrown into a scorching fire. And you turn to that child and look them in the eye, and you're basically looking at them saying, Baby, what do you want? I love you so much, you have no idea. I don't know about you guys, man. My child, when he was little, he got 50,000 kisses by lunchtime. And God is our Father, saints. God is our Father. You think God wants you to sit in his lap once in a while? Remember that when your child, when some of you you have small children right now, when they come and sit in your lap, I mean, you know, every kid's different. I got one good friend, his daughter's not a cuddler, but his son, who's now huge like his daddy, is a cuddler. And I mean, he'll just sit there in his daddy's lap forever. Not anymore, he's too big, but you know what I mean. He has to sit on the side of his daddy now. But the love, the warmth, the blessing, I mean, you feel like the whole world could be just crumbling and it doesn't matter. You got your baby in your arms, you got your wife, you got your husband, you got your babies all in one room in your sovereign dwelling place. Wow. I think God wants to hear from us a little bit more often. I could say that, and I am saying that to myself right now. And I find myself recently just afresh, just telling God, raising my hands and hearts to Him and say, Lord, I love you, Jesus. Being authentic, just communicate with God and in an authentic way. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. So there's the first promise. Those who truly follow Jesus, they hear His voice because they're listening for it. And they get His voice right from His word. His word is His voice. Anybody looking outside the written word of God for the voice of God is absolutely deceived and going to be in big trouble and find themselves caught up in something like the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation cult, where you got false prophets prophesying out of the deceit of their own hearts and misleading many. You know, I got a word. Everybody runs over there. The true disciple says, I'm not interested in your word. I got the word. I don't have to ever wonder if what I'm reading in the Bible is of God. But when you say you got a word or a dream or a vision, I got to test it against. That's a lot of work. I can go straight to the word. I'm not impressed with your little word. See, they can only snare those who aren't rooted and grounded in the word. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Notice, see, once you start reading a verse, meditating on it, and it becomes memorized, or you say it out loud enough times with the reference, by the way, I want to encourage you to memorize the reference with Scripture, because then you're able to share it with others and put your hand or arm around them and say, brother, I want to encourage you to go read Proverbs 1:33. It changed my life. I know it's going to be a blessing to you. I love you, and I want you to know I'm praying for you today. I tell you what, man, if we just start loving on folks, things are going to happen. Big things, God things. God is love. Okay, and God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3:17. I think if we are all honest, we know that you and I, me first, would be in the lowest part of hell long ago if God didn't send His Son into the world to save me. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall do what? Dwell safely. How many people like safety? And shall be quiet from the fear of evil. You're not even going to have the fear of evil. Notice most things we fear don't even happen, but you're going to be quiet from the fear of evil as long as you're hearkening unto the Lord. That's not a one-time thing. You can't do nothing about yesterday or tomorrow, but today you can hearken unto the Lord. He's going to fill you, baptize you in His love and His peace. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119:165. We are dwelling richly in the word of God. We'll come in for a landing here in just a minute. Philippians 4:4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Wait a minute. Everything's not happening in my according to what I want. Let me read it again. Rejoice. We all know the voice of the flesh, right? So that's not condemning you. I'm just saying the reality of it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Wait a minute, Lord. Everything's not that doesn't matter. You're saved. You got everything. And just obey Him. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. In other words, I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to obey Him. I am going to love Him no matter what happens. This is a man who just lost all of his children, I believe his wife, and everything he owned. Read that. Memorize that. Job 13:15. And put it into the context of this man's life. This was a holy man of God, Job 1:2. And then go to the last chapter and see what happened and how God restored double fold and blessed him immensely. God wants you to pass the test, friends. He's taken us through trials so that the trying of our faith may work patience. And so the fires that we are enduring in these trials, these seasons of trying, they're having a work in us. Listen, the trial of your faith, is your faith on trial right now, friend? If not, it's probably going to be in the coming days, because God loves you, and whom the Lord loves, He chastens. If you bear fruit in Christ, He's going to purge you so that you bring forth more fruit. God's got a plan. The Bible says He's the potter and we're the clay. Maybe today we should raise our hands and say, Lord, right now, Lord, You're the potter, I'm the clay. Lord, forgive my rebellion. Give me a heart of flesh, O God. Take away the heart of stone. Get rid of it, God. Please give me a heart of flesh. That's a prayer, that ought to be rolling off our out of our spirits and off our lips every day. Ezekiel 36:24-26. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Think about that, what he just said. The trying or the trial, your faith's on trial. First of all, stop for a minute. You got saving faith, but you got everything, because that connects you with the Master, the Savior. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so by faith, you are in Christ. And so it's more that faith is more precious than of gold, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Why? Because that's what connects you with Christ. You have to have faith. You can't please him without it. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you and I have never laid eyes on him. Ye love. Do you love him today? In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, there's faith again, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. See, that's final salvation. Most people don't even know that exists, even though they read the Bible on a regular basis. The once saved, always saved people don't want to know that exists. They want the one and done package, and they're not interested in walking with Jesus, especially not on his stated terms. Okay, that's at the root of all of these Calvinists and once saved, always saved frauds that are perpetrating lies upon people. You got to endure to the end, Jesus said. And he said, you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. He's talking to his own. Why would he be telling them to endure to the end if they weren't even saved? It even says he's talking to his 12. Matthew 10:22, Matthew 24:13. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's what you're going to cash this faith in for in the end. Hebrews 10 talks about it has great recompense or repaying of reward. So that temporal gold that you just said no to, that we talked about a minute ago, just shake that off like a fly on your shoulder. You know, get rid of it. That's trinkets. That's temporal trinkets, not eternal treasure. All right, let's try Philippians 4:4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care and worry for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. What is a supplication? Humble request. Daddy, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to make the crooked places straight. Boom, boom, boom. What do you have? What do you have to ask for? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But oh no, we're going to toil and work it out ourselves and argue amongst ourselves, speculate. Just stop and pray, beloved. That's all. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Does God want to hear you pray about it? Yes, he does. Why would this be in the Bible if he didn't? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications. Supplication. Humble request. Just stop and ask. Let's get over all the fancy praying, guys. Just ask him, okay? Depend on God in the name of Jesus when you pray. There's power in that name. Prayer is just a vehicle. I don't say there's power in prayer. I understand that's not necessarily heretical, but the power is in the name of Jesus, who told us to pray in his holy name. Supplication. When you pray, pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and he'll grant it that your joy may be full. John 16:23-24. That's what Jesus said. That's one of the myriad of blessings. And that's, in my estimation, that's toward the top right there. I don't know about you. I want my prayers answered. I want to be right with God, and I want him to hear it when I stop and pray. Something wrong if you don't have that confidence. We have this confidence in him that he hears our prayers when we pray, because we do those things which are right in his sight. 1 John 5:14-15, right? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Oh, may the Lord help us, and may we cultivate in our hearts and out of our mouths a grateful heart. Amen. You're either content or you're covetous. It's a good thing to say with Paul, Lord, I've known having a lot, abounding, and being abased, having nothing. And I've found and decided and learned that in all those things, I'm going to be content because I have you, right? Okay, Philippians, that's right here in this same chapter, just a few verses down. I believe it's beginning in verse 11 of this Philippians 4 chapter. Okay, and the peace of God, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I want that to ring in your ears for the rest of your life on earth. Let your requests be made known unto God. What does that mean? Just what it says. Just stop and ask him, and you're going to start seeing God move in your life, open and close doors as they please him, and you're going to learn how to pray without ceasing. And the peace of God, what's going to happen when you start praying about stuff instead of worrying about it, when you're rejoicing? That's the context here. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, is going to keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he talks about what to think upon, about what to allow our minds to be occupied abide with. And I say this nearly every morning. It just comes flowing out of my spirit and out of my mouth. Lord, I'm going to think on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, and lovely, and of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, Lord, I'm going to think on these things, dear Lord Jesus. Amen. The Lord, so we see that the Word of God is a promise for peace, and so is prayer. There couldn't be anything more foundational than being in the Word and having a time of prayer each and every morning. Ask the Lord to forgive your sins of having any other God before Him, including and beginning with the false God of self, trusting and relying on self. Resolve now to get up each and every morning and immediately begin to seek His face. Through the study of the Word of God and prayer communion, there will be no victory apart from communion with God. And when you commune with God in prayer and in the Word of God, He says, great peace. You're going to have great peace, and you're going to have the peace that passes all understanding. We just read that right out of the Bible, Psalm 119:165, and also Philippians 4:7. God bless you, friends. Glad we had this time rich in the Word of God. May the Lord bless you and your family richly today and throughout this year, and make His face to shine down upon you. Numbers 6:24-26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.